morning. We welcome you again to our online service. Glad you've joined us again this morning. Very thankful for the technology that we have to be able to do this. I hope you're not getting too comfortable with it. The time is coming that we will be able to be back together in person, and I trust you're praying to that end. We are continuing to keep our ears and eyes open so that we know when and how we can come back together in person. But in the meantime, we're thankful for the opportunity to do this live streaming online, and thankful again for the privilege that we have to meet in this way. In Isaiah chapter 30, God says to the children of Israel, "Your strength is to sit still." Later on in that chapter, he says, "In quietness shall be your strength." And so as we begin our worship service this morning, let's sit still and be quiet, be strengthened by the Lord as we begin to worship him. Father, again, we are grateful for your grace and goodness to us. Help us to recognize that our strength is indeed to sit still. To go in our own strength is failure. To sit still and to be quiet and to be strengthened by you is victory. We are more than conquerors through Christ because of his victory and the victory that he gives to us. We thank you for this time together this morning. I pray, Father, that you would be glorified in our worship. Again, it's so easy sitting in our homes to be distracted. I pray that you would keep those distractions from us as we focus our attention and our worship upon you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us this morning, church family, and thank you for those online that have been visiting with us. And perhaps this morning you're a first-time guest watching us. Welcome. Thank you for being with us. The song, "You're Worthy of My Praise," we can only say that about one, and that's God. God alone is the one worthy of our praise. So let's sing together.
One, two.
Share.
It's true, Father. You alone are worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our worship. And I just ask that you would stir our hearts this morning to worship you. Think about, through history in the Bible, about how people worshiped you when they came to in a true encounter with you and recognized you in all your greatness and your power and your glory. They bowed down. They bowed down, got flat on their face, and recognized, holy, holy, holy you are. And Father, thank you so much that in your love and your grace, you said to us, you are accepted. You're a child of mine, and you're accepted. Thank you for that. We pray this morning we'd have a special time of worship together. Lord, once again, meeting not together in body, but knowing that we will soon by your grace, and knowing that in heaven, always we are together. Always there is nothing to separate us from you and from one another. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Let's sing a couple more songs together.
You came.
bow in prayer. You alone, Father, can rescue. You alone can save. Left to ourselves, we are hopeless. Left to ourselves, we are helpless. But you sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins so that indeed we could be rescued. We could be saved. We could be healed from our sin. We could be forgiven. Father, we thank you this morning that we are able to come in the name of Jesus Christ and worship you and give you that praise that you alone are worthy of because of who you are, because of that which you have done for us. And Father, as we gather together this morning to worship you, we are reminded that in our strength, not only can we not save ourselves, but in our own strength, we cannot keep ourselves from falling. This morning, as we look at Jude verses 24 and 25, we are reminded that you are able to keep us from falling. You alone are able. You are able to present us faultless in the presence of your glory, but you alone are the one able to present us in that way. Again, left to ourselves, we are weak. Left to ourselves, in our strength, we fail. We fall. We'll never make it to heaven faultless in the presence of your glory. But you've promised, and in your infinite power, you are infinitely able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless in your presence. We rejoice, Father, in that, and we look forward to that day when we are indeed in your very presence. In the meantime, we are here on this earth, a fallen world. There is indeed sin around us. There is sickness around us. There's pandemics around us. We are dependent upon you. But when you are for us, who can be against us? Nothing can separate us from your love. And Father, even in the midst of a pandemic, we can rejoice in you because of who you are. We can trust you. We can trust in your strength, in your power. We thank you, Father, for, again, your goodness to us. We thank you that we are able, as a church, to continue in ministry. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people as they have given of their tithes and offerings, enabling us to continue to give to the ministries that you have directed us to. Thank you, Father, for meeting our needs. I pray that you would continue to do so. And thank you, Father, that you are the one who's in control. And out of your love, you control all things. And we can indeed trust you. We can rejoice in what you're doing. Regardless of what circumstances we may find ourselves, we rejoice in the fact that you do all things good. You do all things right. You do all things for our good. And I pray, Father, that you would strengthen us in those thoughts this morning. May we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. I just want to make a quick announcement this morning. It's an announcement that I have held off in making as long as I possibly could, hoping that the announcement would be different, and that is simply that we've had to cancel our vacation Bible school for this year. It was scheduled for June 15th through the 19th, but due to the circumstances in which we find ourselves, we are going to have to cancel our vacation Bible school this year. Again, I've held off as long as I could to make that announcement, hoping that things would be different, but that's where we're at this point. So continue to pray. Continue to ask God to give us wisdom and to give us direction in that which he'd have us to do.
Thank you, Landon. That was his first time playing piano. I don't know why I had the guts to do it on live stream the first time or not. Good job, pal. I appreciate that very much. The Lord does abide with us. And we have assurance in him. Just so thankful. There's so many verses that talk about in Scripture about the fact that we can trust the Lord and that his yes is for our good and his yes is permanent. It's full, it's complete, and we know that he will not take it back. Blessed assurance. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Today, weeks, months, years to come, and forevermore, all the day long. Let's sing together.
Turn with me, please, to Jude, the book of Jude. It's been a blessing to have the praise team here each Sunday for our live streaming, and we thank each one for their sacrifice and their willingness to come and do that for us. Is there any greater picture of instability than a baby learning to walk? That baby first taking steps is just very unstable, just about ready to fall at any moment. They're basically an accident waiting to happen as that baby begins to walk and take some of those first steps. Very unstable. And yet, is there any greater picture of love than mommy or daddy reaching down and grabbing that baby's hand and giving them that stability as they take those steps and assuring that they don't fall, assuring that they are not an accident about to happen. Great picture of love, great picture of assurance and stability as mom or dad grabs that toddler's hand to hold them and to keep them from falling. As Jude writes this epistle, it's just a short letter of 25 verses, but as he writes this epistle, he is encouraging and instructing the church to contend for the faith, because there are many false teachers who have infiltrated the church, and Jude encourages the church to contend for the faith and not accept the false teaching of these false teachers. As he comes to the end of his epistle, beginning with verse 17, these last nine verses, he instructs the church as it relates to their responsibilities in light of these false teachers. In verses 17 through 19, he speaks of the church's responsibility to the Scriptures. And then in verses 20 and 21, he speaks of the church's responsibility, or each individual, their responsibility to keep themselves in the love of God, their responsibility to themselves. And then in verses 22 and 23, he speaks of our responsibility to others, how we are to have compassion and mercy upon them. And then in verses 24 and 25, he speaks of our responsibility to God. Specifically in verse 25, he says that it is our responsibility to magnify God's glory and His majesty and His dominion and His power. But in verse 24, before he speaks of our responsibility specifically to God and what we are to do to Him, in verse 24, he tells us what God is going to do to us. In verse 24, now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. So in verse 24, he tells us what God's going to do for us. In verse 25, he tells us what we are to do for God. This morning, we want to look at verse 24. What God's going to do for us. Next week, we'll look at verse 25, our responsibility to God. But what God's going to do for us, He's going to keep us from falling, and He's going to present us faultless before the glory, in the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Our responsibility to God, God's grace to us. Let's bow in prayer. Father, again, we are grateful this morning that we can study Your Word in this fashion. Help us to take to heart that which You have instructed us to do through Your Word. We thank You for Your grace, but indeed we need to respond to that grace with love and worship. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Notice verse 24 begins, "Now unto Him." And then verse 25 says, "To the only wise God." Obviously, there's something that's supposed to go to God in these two verses. Now unto Him, to the only wise God. Something's to go to God, and that's our responsibility. Indeed, what's to go to God is our praise and our worship as we magnify His glory and His majesty and His dominion and His power. But again, prior to saying what our responsibility is to God, Jude assures us of what God's going to do for us. He assures us of God's grace, God's gift to us out of His grace. And God's gift to us out of His grace is that He's able to keep us from falling, and He is able to present us faultless before the presence of His glory. So we'll look first at that thought, He's able to keep us from falling. The word keep here is the word to guard, to protect, to watch over, to defend, to care for. So in essence, He's simply saying that God is able to guard us, to protect us from falling. He watches over us, He cares for us to keep us from falling. The word falling here is a word that's often used in Scripture with reference to a believer stumbling or falling into sin. And so he says God is able to keep us, He's able to protect us. He's able to guard us from falling into sin. He says God is able. The word able, that's translated able here, is the Greek word dunamai, and I simply emphasize that because many of you have heard of the word dunamis, which is the word for power. And we often have said that that word dunamis, power, in the Greek, is the word from which we get our word dynamite. Well, this word is dunamai. It's simply the verb form of that same word. And it really is emphasizing somebody who has power. And so what it's saying is that God has the power to keep us from falling. God has the power to guard us and protect us from falling. God has the power to watch over us and to keep us from stumbling. So the emphasis is upon God's power. He not only is able, but he has the power to do so. And as we think of God's power, we know he's omnipotent. His power is infinite. And so as he has infinite power, he has infinite ability to keep us from falling. He has infinite power, so he has infinite ability to protect us from stumbling and falling. Doesn't say that if the conditions are just right, he's able to keep us from falling. He has infinite ability under all conditions because of his power to keep us from falling. Again, I emphasize that, you know, sometimes we might be able to do something under certain circumstances, but we don't have infinite power to do it under all circumstances. Sometimes, as a pilot, I'm asked about a plane, you know, well, how long of a runway do you need to take off? Well, there's very many variables. You know, I remember one time up in Alaska flying, and I had a really strong headwind. And with that strong headwind, I came in, and I literally landed that plane in the length of the airplane, about 30 feet. I'm able to do that under certain circumstances. When the wind's blowing just right and atmospheric conditions and everything else, yeah, you're able to do that. But under normal circumstances, I can't begin to do that. Under certain circumstances, atmospheric conditions, you need 1,000 feet to land or to take off. But what this is saying is God in his infinite power has infinite ability under all circumstances. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. He can keep us from falling because it's out of his power. And I emphasize that because I really think that's why Jude is saying this at this point. In this letter that he writes, he has been laying out a description of the false teachers of that day and the resultant sin from that false teaching. And it's not a pretty picture. It's a very grim picture. And what Jude is saying here is that even in this very extreme condition of these false teachers and the resultant condition and the resultant sin, even in these extreme conditions, God has the power to keep you from falling. He has the power and the ability to keep you from falling. As you read this description and all that Jude says, you begin to wonder and you look at it and say, who is able to stand under these conditions? He compares these false teachers to unbelieving Israel. He compares them to the sinful fallen angels. He compares them to perverted Sodom and Gomorrah. He compares them to murderous Cain. He compares them to greedy Balaam. He compares them to rebellious Korah. He compares them to the hidden rocks which cause shipwreck. He compares them to raging waves of the sea. And as you read that, you say, I don't stand a chance. There's no way in the face of this false teaching and the resultant sin of this false teaching, there's no way that I can stand. There's no way that I'll be able to keep from falling. But Jude assures us that God has the power to keep us from falling. Even under these circumstances, God has the power to keep us from falling. In verses 22 and 23, he says, you got to be so careful that even as you try to rescue those who are unsaved, as you try to pull them out of the fire, you've got to be careful because you could get burned by that fire. You could be defiled in the flesh as you try to rescue others. It's dangerous. And yet, under those circumstances, Jude assures us God is able to keep us from falling. We can trust Him even in those extreme conditions. In His infinite power, He has infinite ability to indeed keep us from falling. He doesn't specifically say this here, but certainly the implication, as it says, God is able to keep us from falling. He has the power to keep us from falling. Jude is certainly implying that we don't have that ability to keep ourselves from falling. We don't have the power to keep ourselves from falling in such conditions as described here in Jude with these false teachers and the resultant sin. In our own strength, in our own ability, in our own power, we will fail. Only God is able to keep us from falling. We cannot keep ourselves. In the flesh, we are too weak. In the flesh, we are too vulnerable. In the flesh, we will be defiled as we try to rescue others. We'll get burned as we try to pull them out of the fire. In our own strength, in our own power, we will fail. We get ourselves into trouble when we try to do it in our own strength. We try to keep ourselves from falling. Again, that picture of that baby, that toddler just learning to walk, a picture of instability, an accident waiting to happen. And guess what? That's exactly what I'm like in my Christian walk. In my own strength, I am unstable. In my own strength, I am weak. In my own strength, I am an accident waiting to happen. In my own strength, it's not a matter of if I will fall, it's a matter of when I will fall. I can't keep myself from falling. But then that beautiful picture of mommy or daddy reaching down and grabbing that toddler's hand and holding them up and keeping them from falling and protecting them and not letting them to have that accident and fall down. That great picture of stability and strength as mommy or daddy reaches down and grabs that hand. And that's the picture we have here. God, our Father, reaching down, grabbing us by the hand. A picture of love, a picture of stability, a picture of strength as He keeps us from falling. Sometimes that toddler, as you reach down and grab that hand, sometimes that toddler pulls away. They don't want the help. Sometimes that toddler will yank their hand out of your hand and go their own way. And indeed, what happens? They fall. Sometimes we can pull away from God. We think, I've got this. When in reality, in our own strength, we don't got this. Just like that toddler, we end up falling. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. We think we know better than God. We don't like the way He's doing it. We don't like the way He's leading. We don't like the circumstances that we're in. We don't like the timing. We don't like the waiting. And so we take matters into our own hands. We're going to do it our way. We are going to make sure that this circumstance gets over with now instead of waiting upon God. And when we pull away from God, we will fall. Only God can keep us from falling. We cannot keep ourselves. We're familiar with Ephesians chapter 6, that we need to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Be strong in the power of God and in His strength. We need to put on that whole armor of God because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't stand a chance in our own strength. We will fall. I know I've shared this story with you before, but it fits so well here. My cousin, when he was just a little boy, he went to a Christian school where they gave demerits. When you misbehaved or you didn't get maybe your work done, you'd get a demerit. And obviously after so many demerits, there was certain disciplines involved. And my cousin, and you got to know my cousin, he was all boy. And he struggled with that. He was getting a lot of demerits. And so his parents began to pray with him. And he started to pray, Lord, help me not to get so many demerits. Help me to listen. Help me to obey. Help me not to get so many demerits. And after a time, as his parents prayed with him and he prayed, after a time, he wasn't getting as many demerits as he was before. So one day he comes home from school and he announced, you can quit praying for me now. And his parents said, well, why? He said, well, I'm not getting as many demerits and I want to do it on my own now. I don't need God's help. I'll just do it on my own. As adults, we'd never say that out loud, would we? But how many times is that how we act? God, I'll do it on my own now. I'm going to go my way. I'm going to do it my way. I don't think your way is the best. We wouldn't say it out loud, but that's really how we act. We're going to try to keep ourselves from falling rather than allowing God in His infinite power to protect us and guard us from falling. As we surrender ourselves to Him, He is able in His power to keep us standing upright for Him, walking upright for Him, rather than falling. But it does require that surrender daily. Christ tells us that we need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him daily. He adds that word daily. Daily we need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. Just because today I've denied myself and I've taken up my cross and I followed Him doesn't guarantee that I'll do it tomorrow. Every day I need to deny myself. I need to say no to self. I need to take up my cross. I need to make sure that I am crucified. And that I need to follow Him. That's how we are able to keep from falling in the strength and in the power of God. Not only does He have the power to protect us and to guard us from falling, but also to present us faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. He's able to present us faultless before the presence of His glory. You know, as we talk about keeping us from falling, that's talking about our present walk with Christ. As He talks about presenting us faultless before the presence of His glory, He's talking about our future position in Christ. So the one is talking about our present walk with Christ. This now, the presenting us faultless before His presence of His glory, He's talking about our position in Christ in the future. He will indeed be able to present us faultless in the very presence of His glory. That's His guarantee to us. One, the falling, keeping us from falling, that's present. That's our present practical daily walk. But His promise for the future is that we will make it to heaven and will stand in the very presence of His glory, faultless. That's His guarantee to us. It's by His power that He'll do it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we're told we are capped by the power of God unto salvation. And the salvation being spoken of there is the salvation from the very presence of sin. And He will keep us by His power so that we will be in His presence faultless, without sin. This word faultless is the word unblemished. It's a word that was used with reference to the Old Testament sacrifices. It's a word used with reference to the sacrifice of Christ Himself. Those Old Testament sacrifices had to be unblemished. They had to be a perfect lamb. Not one that was sick, not one that was lame, but a perfect lamb. And Christ was our perfect lamb. He was sinless. He was unblemished. He was faultless. He was holy. And what he's saying here is that the day's coming when we will be presented in the very presence of God's glory, faultless, unblemished, without sin, without blame, holy in his very presence. Emphasizes faultless before the presence of his glory. That word presence there is actually the word, and your translation may say it something like this, but it's a word to cause to stand. That he will cause us to stand faultless in the presence of his glory. He's not just going to, it says he present you faultless. He's going to cause us to stand faultless in the very presence of his glory. That's an amazing thought. Me, the sinner that I am, standing in the presence of the glory of God, faultless, blameless, unblemished, without sin, holy. How's that possible? You know, it speaks here of his glory. 1 Timothy chapter 6 talks about the unapproachable light of God's holiness. The unapproachable light of God's holiness. And I believe that's kind of the thought here of God's glory. God's glory being that which shines forth from him. But what shines forth from him is an unapproachable light because of his holiness. I'm going to stand faultless before the unapproachable light of God's holiness. I'm going to stand faultless before that glory that shines into the deepest recesses of my heart. How is that possible? I can't even hide my sin from you. How am I going to hide my sin from the unapproachable light of God's holiness? How am I going to hide my sin from the glory of God that shines into the deepest recesses of my heart? Obviously, it's only because of Christ and what he's done on the cross of Calvary. The doctrinal term that we sometimes refer to is the word imputation. My sins were imputed to Christ. My sins were put to the account of Christ. He literally became guilty of my sin. And because he became guilty of my sin, he had to take the penalty for my sin. He had to be punished for my sin. And that's why he died on the cross, dying in my place, dying as my substitute, because he took my sin upon him and became guilty of my sin, and he had to take then the punishment for my sin, and he took that punishment. And in taking that punishment for my sin, now I don't have to be punished. My sins are forgiven. My sins are taken away. And I can stand in the future before the unapproachable light of God's holiness. I can stand in the presence of his glory, faultless. My sins are gone because Christ took my sins away by taking the penalty for my sin and dying on the cross. But it doesn't stop there. Not only are my sins taken away, not only were my sins put to his account and he died for them, but his righteousness is put to my account. I'm clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So when I stand in the very presence of the glory of God, when I stand in the very presence of the unapproachable light of his holiness, I'm faultless because my sins have been taken away and I've been clothed with the righteousness of Christ. In Philemon, as Paul writes a letter to a friend, Philemon, he tells Philemon that his slave, Philemon's slave, who had run away and had stolen money from Philemon, had been saved. Paul led Onesimus, the slave, to the Lord. And so now Paul writes this letter to Philemon, and he sends this letter by the hand of Onesimus himself. And he sends Onesimus back to Philemon, his master. And he tells in the letter, he says, Philemon, you need to accept Onesimus. your slave as if you were accepting me. And any wrong that he has done, you need to put that to my account. We read that in Philemon verses 17 and 18. If you count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. He says, Philemon, you need to accept Onesimus as if he were me. And then he says, if he's wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. If he's wronged you or owes you anything, then I'll pay it. And it's a beautiful picture of what Christ has done for us. We had wronged God. We had sinned against God. And Christ said to God the Father, put that to my account. I will pay for the wrong which Don did. And he died on the cross for my sins. But then Christ also says to the Father, now Father, you accept Don as if he were me. And he clothed me with his own righteousness. And so with my sins forgiven and clothed in the righteousness of Christ, I will stand faultless in the presence of his glory. I'll stand faultless without sin, unblemished, holy, clothed in the righteousness of Christ with my sins forgiven. I will stand in that unapproachable light of God's holiness. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 22, he promises, that is Christ promises, that he will present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, he promises that we will be holy and without blame before him. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 26 and 27, he promises that he will cleanse us and wash us and present us to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, but holy and without blemish. That's his promise. And in his power, his infinite power, he is infinitely able to present us faultless in the presence of his glory. And notice the last two words in that verse, with exceeding joy, or perhaps your translation says with great joy. Can you imagine any greater joy than for a sinner such as us standing in the glory of God, faultless, blameless? Can you think of any greater joy than a sinner such as us standing in the unapproachable light of God's holiness and be found faultless and blameless and without sin? Exceeding joy. In fact, the word joy here is not the normal word translated joy in Scripture. It's a word that is reserved more for an exuberant joy or an exceeding joy, as it's translated here. It's an exuberant joy. It's not just the normal joy that we might have, but it is beyond that normal joy. It's this exuberant joy that we stand in the presence of God faultless. The promise of the new covenant will ultimately be fulfilled. We will stand in his presence and he will remember our sins no more. We'll stand in his presence and he will remember no longer our iniquities. Forgiven, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. There's great joy in heaven. There will be no more sickness, no more pandemics. There will be no more death. There will be no more trials to go through. We'll have a greater understanding of truth and reality as we grow in our knowledge of truth in heaven. We'll have glorified bodies. There's lots of reasons to be joyful in heaven. But perhaps the greatest exuberant joy is standing in the presence of God's glory, faultless, without sin, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. The old hymn, some of you remember it. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Exuberant joy, standing in the presence of the glory of God. Mike's going to lead us in that hymn right now. You're at home, sing along. I think you probably know the first verse. He's just going to sing that first verse. When we all get to heaven, What a day of rejoicing that will be. Mike, lead us in that song.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions, bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place.
This pandemic has done for me, as we're not able to get together in person here as a church family, has reminded me that one day we will all be together, not just our church family here in Towanda, but all believers of all ages will be together in heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be, standing faultless in the very presence of the glory of God. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your promises. Thank you that you are indeed in your power able to keep us from falling as we surrender ourselves to you each day. And thank you for your promise that those who have trusted Christ as their Savior will indeed make it to heaven, standing faultless in the presence of your glory. What a day of rejoicing that will be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Continue to give God the glory and the praise that he alone deserves. Good morning. May God bless you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you. For you, he is for you, he is for you. for you. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. Be gracious.